Last Thursday, I had an interesting shaila in the middle of davening. I was davening at a minyan that was a little bit too quick for me, and I was in the middle of Ezvas Avoseinu while they were up to Kriyas HaTorah. Didn't help that it was Lag BaOmer, so there was no Tachnun, and they didn't have any Baal Kriya. There was no Baal Kriya. Now, I happened to be a Baal Kriya, and so they made an announcement. Is there anyone here who knows how to lane? And I was faced with the dilemma. Am I supposed to interrupt my davening right before Tzur Yisrael in order to lane for the Tzibur? Or am I supposed to keep on davening even though it means that chances are that they would not have someone who knew how to lane, laning the Torah for them? And this is just one of many dilemmas that might occur to a person in the middle of davening. It happens very often that a person's either a little bit behind or a little bit ahead when the Tzibur gets up to Baruch Hu and to Kaddish, and so the question always becomes, when do I answer in the middle of Psuki de Zimra? What do I answer in the middle of Birkos Kriyashma? And what do I not answer? Thank you very much.
Amen.
Amen. How would you have felt if you were one of the people in the...
I'd be honored.
not for Marshall and Astrid. This is one of the unique sugyos in Halacha. There's basically like four lines of Gemara from which the entire sugya is built, and I want to just look at those lines of Gemara and look a little bit at some of the complexities that one can deduce or that one can see in these lines of Gemara, and then to see how those complexities are elaborated upon by the later poskim as summarized by the Mishnah Brura. So let's just take a look. At the beginning, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Brachos daf yod gimel, Rabbi Yehuda omer, Be'emtza shoel mipnei hayira, Umeshiv mipnei hakavod. That if a person is in the middle of a bracha, meaning he's not in between Yotzer HaMa'oros and Ava Rab or Avas Olam, he's in the middle of Yotzer HaMa'oros. He just said, Lakel Baruch Nimos Yitenu, and then suddenly somebody walks by whom he's very afraid of, somebody whom he has a mitzvah to be afraid of, like his Rebbe or his father, and he wants to say good morning to them. So the halacha is be'emtza, even though he's in the middle of Lakel Baruch Nimos Yitenu, he's not yet gotten up to the gap in between one bracha and the next. He's allowed to be shoel, he's allowed to wish them a good morning, even though they didn't say anything to him.
That's a chiddush.
Oh, so how does it apply nowadays? Why don't anyone doing that nowadays? That's probably... But the Chiddush is the opposite. The Mishnah says that it's mutter, and the Chiddush is that nobody does it. So we'll have to see why. We'll have to see why nobody does it. Although I should mention that this is very important for Rabbanim, because regular Balabatim don't necessarily have so many shilos about when they're allowed to. So you're davening, and there's no, but a person who's a rabbi, or a gabbai who's announcing page numbers, or has to answer the gabbai's questions about, you know, what to do when they get up, and, you know, should we go much more quickly because this man's tefillah is coming, whatever the question might be. So this becomes very important in that connection. It also is very important, let's say that a person is coming late to shul, and chas v'chalila, right? But I know it's happened to me once or twice. And they want to make sure that they get up to Shmon Esrei with the rest of the minyan, which is very important. Shmon Esrei is the most important part of davening, to daven together with everybody else. And they figure if they come to shul and they put on their talis and tefillin, and only then do they start davening Psuki de Zimra, then they probably will not get up to Shmon Esrei with everybody else. But if they use a couple of minutes from that they're walking from their shul, from their home to the shul, and they use those minutes to begin Psuki de Zimra, maybe even past Baruch Sha'amar, maybe so then they have a chance or a certainty of getting up to Shmon Esrei with the Tzibur. So you might have a case where a person is davening Psuki de Zimra as he's walking along in the street, and as you're walking in the street, people will wish you good morning, or you'll pass by people whom you'll want to wish good morning. And even though a person who starts davening Psuki de Zimra with Baruch Sha'amar, there's all sorts of interesting shailas about when they should say the bracha on their talis and tefillin, but you also have this shaila about wishing people good morning or responding to people's good morning wishes while one's in the middle potentially of Psuki de Zimra.
Rabbi, could you just nod your head? Wouldn't that be correct? Just nod your head?
If they accept it, unless they get a slide by this.
Well, it depends on what the propriety is perceived as being. Sometimes people will take a nod of the head as an insult. So that always has to be assessed based on the situation. So we have being shoel mipnei hayira, a person's rabbi, a person's father, someone whom he has a mitzvah to be afraid of, to be in awe of, or somebody whom he's practically in awe of, like his boss, or the borough president probably doesn't count necessarily, but someone whom he's in awe of, someone who has power over him, and he's afraid of what the person might or could do to them if the person does not receive proper respect. So he's allowed to interrupt proactively in order to greet that person. Any other person? Oh wow! Thank you very much. Any other person, we would say meshiv mipnei hakavod, that you can respond to them. If they say good morning to you, you're allowed to wish them a good morning back. Maybe if they ask you a question, you're allowed to give them an answer, but you're not allowed to proactively interrupt your davening in order to greet them. That's all when you're talking about be'emtzah. If you're literally in the middle, akel baruch, you haven't yet said ni'imos yitenu, and you have these questions. What about if it's biprakim, if it's at the gaps, the synapses in between one bracha and the next, if it's biprakim, then shoel mipnei hakavod, you're allowed to inquire into somebody's well-being. Any person whom you want, who you're obligated or feel the need to honor, and meshiv shalom lekal adam, and you're allowed to respond to anybody. So when we say prakim shoel mipnei hakavod, it means somebody who you have a mitzvah to honor, or somebody whom you have an irrepressible urge to honor, not just any person whom you would meet in the street, but if a person meets you in the street, no matter who they are, it could be a stranger, someone that you don't know, someone whom you don't respect, but if they wish you a good morning, so then even if you're biprakim, if you're, let's say, before Baruch Shamar, if you're in between Yotzer Ma'oros and Ava Rabba, so then you're allowed to respond to them, l'kal adam. So this is the Mishnah. So machlokes tanaim, we paskin like this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara then elaborates and asks, well, that's talking about Birchos Kriyashma. What about Ba Minei Achi, Tana Debe Rabbi Chia, Me Rabbi Chia? There was a position in the academies of the Amoraim called a Tana. That was a person who was in charge of memorizing all the Braisos. So Be Rabbi Chia was the yeshiva of Rabbi Chia. And in his yeshiva there was a Tana whose name was Echi. Like you have people named Abba, so you have people back then who were named Ach. So he had the following shaila that he asked the Rosh Yeshiva of the yeshiva where he worked. He asked Rabbi Chia, and he said, "Behalel ubi Megillah, ma'usha yafsik." What if a person's in the middle of Hallel? Are they allowed to interrupt in the middle of Hallel? What if a person's in the middle of reading the Megillah? Are they allowed to interrupt in the middle of reading the Megillah? And the Gemara explains the two possibilities. Possibility number one is Amrinan Kalvachomer, that we make it Kalvachomer. Kriyashma, which is Dioraisa, even though it's the Oraisa, which means that it's very serious. God cares about it a tremendous amount. He wrote it down inside of Torah Shebichsav. Still, you're allowed to interrupt this Kriyashma, which God cares so much about your saying, in order to ask about how one's doing, or to respond to them. So Halal, which is only Derabanan, Mibai, is there any question, any need to find out? Halal, of course you're allowed to interrupt. It's so much less important, relatively speaking. Both of them are very important, but relatively speaking, if we weigh one against the other, Halal is less, and so certainly we should be permitted to interrupt in the middle of Halal. Odilma, says the Gemara, persume nisa adif. Perhaps there are times when something which is only rabbinic in origin is more serious, more important, if you will, than something which is dioraisa. Because the idea of persuminisa, of publicizing a miracle, of saying, this type of inspiring public gratitude, to God over something like Hanukkah or Purim, that's even more important than saying Kriyas Shema in some sense of the word. So the Gemara is not sure which of the two is more important. It could be that even though you're allowed to interrupt in the middle of Kriyas Shema, perhaps you're not allowed to interrupt in the middle of Hallel or the middle of reading the Megillah. So what was the answer? Rav Chia answered, Posek ve'in b'kach klum. You're allowed to interrupt in the middle of Hallel, you're allowed to interrupt in the middle of reading the Megillah, and in b'kach klum, there's no problem with this. So the Shaila seems to be the following. The Shaila seems to be assuming that the way that we determine when you're allowed to interrupt and when you're not allowed to interrupt has to do with the relative importance of the tefillah that you're in the middle of reciting. So if it's a tefillah where the importance is through the roof, then you can't interrupt. if it's a tefillah of relatively ordinary importance, so then you're allowed to interrupt. And it all depends on how you assess the importance of the tefillah. A more important tefillah, no. A less important tefillah, yes. And the question seems to be simply about how do we assess the importance of a tefillah? Do we pay more attention to the d'oraisa versus the rabbanon axis, or do we pay more attention to the persuming nisa versus non-persuming nisa axis? That seems to be the import of this question of the Gemara. However, there's a second issue as well, which may force us to reanalyze this question of the Gemara, and that is that we know, and this also comes from the same Mishnah, although I forgot to put it on the source sheet, that we were never supposed to interrupt in between Hashem Elokeichem Emes. And Hashem Elokeichem are the last two words of Kriya Shema. The word Emes does not appear right in the parasha of Kriya Shema. Emes is the beginning of the next bracha, of the bracha of Yatziv and Nachon. Emes, it's true, V'yatziv, and it's standing, V'nachon, and it's correct, V'kayam, and it's upheld, V'yashar, and it's straight, V'chaviv, and Nechmad, V'ahuv, and all those things, they're all referring to Hadavar HaZeh Aleinu Le'olam Ba'ed. So Emes is the beginning of the Yatziv and Nachon. It's the beginning of that series of adjectives which are referring back to the things that we said and the things that we're about to say. And it's not really part of Kriya Shema, nonetheless. So you would think, since it's not part of Kriya Shema, it should have the same halacha as a person who is in between, let's say, Yotzer HaMa'oros and Ava Rabba. It's in between one paragraph and the next paragraph. You would think you should be allowed to interrupt, but the Mishnah says that we can't interrupt. So the Gemara is troubled. Why not? What's the difference between Yotzer HaMa'oros to Ava Rabba and Hashem Elokeichem to Emes? So Rabbi Avahu says, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Mai Tamei de Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason that Rabbi Yehuda says we're not allowed to interrupt in between Hashem Elokeichem and Emes? And the answer is, Dichsiv, it's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Hashem Elokim Emes. So there's some sort of a pun over here, meaning that when we say Kriya Shema, it's not just that we're saying the parasha of Vayomer, followed by the prayer of Emes V'yatziv V'nachon, but rather, we're saying two things at once. It's a multi-layered pun that's going on here. When we say Hashem Elokeichem, it is both the last two words of Kriya Shema and a paraphrase of a pasuk in Yirmiyah. So that even when the last two words of Kriya Shema are finished and the parasha of Kriya Shema is over, we're still in the middle of this paraphrase of the pasuk from Sefer Yirmiyah of Hashem Elokim Emes. And therefore, we can't interrupt, because even though from one perspective this is really the end of one chapter and the beginning of another chapter, but from a different perspective, this is actually literally right in the middle of a pasuk. And just like we can't interrupt in the middle of a pasuk earlier on, we can't interrupt in the middle of this pasuk either. So that's the Gemara's answer, Dichsiv Vashem Elokim Emes. Yes?
Isn't it a problem by Miguel if you're listening to somebody and you miss one word and you're not just at the reading of the Megillah? How can you stop over here? I understand the halal is a question, but Megillah, what's the question of Mamal Sheyafsik?
And again, that's you're waiting for the Balkriya. The Balkriya is the one that's being Mafsik.
You mean somebody's
the Leiner.
Right. Let's say.
Unless he's leaning.
Right. Let's say I'm in the middle of leaning, and my mother walks in and says, "Oy vai, I missed the first 8 psukim of the Megillah. Can you go back for me?" So I'm either gonna go back, or I'm gonna say that I can't go back. But maybe I'm supposed to interrupt in the middle there because I have a mitzvah to show kavod and yira to my mother or something along those lines. Doesn't have to be could be my rabbi, could be anybody. Right? But if I'm the Balkriya, so then no one's going to miss anything because I'm interrupting. I'll just stop where I'm up to and then pick up at the end. So you're right. If a person stands to miss the Megillah, so then what can they do? But if a person's able to have the interruption and eat it too, so then maybe they should. So we have here, this is not a question of importance per se. Right? The Gemara doesn't seem to be saying that this pasuk in Yirmiyah makes the... It's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Hashem Elokim Emes. What it seems to be saying is that to interrupt in the middle of an idea, to interrupt in the middle of an idea which is very tightly bound together, will release the bonds that connect all the different fragments, the letters, the words of the idea to one another. Right? And that is what makes it problematic. Not so much the fact that this is a more important tefillah or a less important tefillah. Kriya Shema is the Oraisa. Halal and Megillah are pursuing Nisa. But the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Hashem Elokim Emes, it's not the Oraisa to say that every day. There's no pursuing Nisa in it. So what would be the problem in terms of simply pure power and pure importance? Interrupting in the middle of Hashem Elokim Emes is perhaps not so significant. But in terms of the fact that these three words contain an idea, a total idea, an entire idea, and an idea which if you interrupt in the middle of them, it somehow loses a lot of its power. So the interruption is a problem because of what it does to the idea. You could argue that in anywhere else in Kriya Shema, an interruption is not going to break apart the components that form the idea to the same extent as it does with Hashem Elokim Emes. Hashem Elokim Emes need to be together, and otherwise there's some sort of a pigam, there's some sort of a problem, of a weakening of the bonds that constitute this idea, and an interruption in the middle would break those bonds and therefore would constitute a problem. So I want to just show that as you go through the halachos of interruptions, you'll find to a certain extent that the former dimension is emphasized, that it's all a question of how important is the tefillah that you're in the middle of, or how important is the interruption that you're making, and you just weigh the relative importance of the two things, and whichever one is higher or weightier on the scale is the one that's going to win. But there's also a second calculation that we have to make, which is to what extent will an interruption break the flow of the idea, and to what extent does the idea itself is it diffuse enough that or flexible enough that you can put it back together again even after you break it up, right? Number one, and maybe it's an idea which you can take you can chop it in half. And it doesn't lose that much by being chopped in half. And number two, perhaps whatever you're doing to interrupt this idea is consistent with the theme of the idea, and so therefore the interruption integrates into your expression of the idea rather than simply interrupting with something extraneous. So these are the two different poles I want to survey, and I just have here 19 different quotations from the Mishnah Brura that maybe we'll go through and we'll see where each of them stands. Now, I should mention that the reason why I've chosen this is not just because of its immediate relevance to the question of when to interrupt in the middle of davening, but because this topic sheds light on many, many different parts of davening. Because let's say you're in the middle of Psukei Dezimra, or Birchos Kriya Shema, or Hallel, or Megillah, and you're called upon to interrupt. So this topic is going to shed light on the extent to which you have units and subunits and sub-subunits. To what extent are they integrated? To what extent are they flexible? A, and it also sheds light on how important each particular subunit is. And C, it's also going to shed light on what are the themes of these subunits, because if you're allowed to interrupt for something, right, and not allowed to interrupt for something else, so then you might argue sometimes that the first thing is consistent with the theme of what you're interrupting, while the second thing is not, which sheds light on the theme itself. And not just that. Right? It also should, whatever you're trying to interrupt for, whether it's Kaddish or Kedusha or Baruch Hu or Amen or something like that, that's also going to shed some light, number one, on how important is that Kaddish, Kedusha, Amen, Baruch Hu, etc. But not just that, but also on what exactly is the theme of that particular Amen. What flavor does it have? If sometimes they'll take two Amens, one of them will be mutter to interrupt for, and the other one will not, and usually what that'll tell you is not just that the first is more important than the second, but that the first is more consistent with the theme of whatever you're in the middle of than the second. And so it not only sheds light on the relative importance of what you're saying now and what you're interrupting for, but it also sheds light on what exactly is the thematic nature of both of those types of tefillos. So let's, without further ado, let's take a look at the Mishnah Brura. So the first line that I have here, by the way, this is out of order. I scrambled it in order to make certain conceptual points, but the halachos are not, they're still very clear, I think, in spite of being a little bit out of order. So here we have here, Efshar, says the Mishnah Brura, Dimakriya haya la'achar gimel sha'os. Let's say that a person wakes up very late, Or they don't have to wake up late. They woke up very early. They woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning. They said the three parashiyos of Kriyat Shema. And then they went back to sleep and they woke up for their 9 o'clock minyan on Shabbos morning. And 9 o'clock minyan on Shabbos morning at this time of year is not going to be saying Kriyat Shema bizman. The Kriyat Shema will be more than three shows zmanios after sunrise. And so what happens if a person's... Right, so what if a person's in the middle of that type of Kriya Shema? It's not the Kriya Shema where he's fulfilling the mitzvah d'oraisa, but rather it's a Kriya Shema that he's saying for some other reason in order to make Kriya Shema right before tefillah, or in order to have the Kriya Shema in the context of the brachos, but it's not fulfilling the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriya Shema. So the Mishnah Berurah says, efshar, that if that's the case, who rak kikori b'torah, it's just like a person who's reading any other portion of the Torah. There's no problem if a person is reading, Sefer Shayat himself, or if he's saying some psukim in Sefer Tehillim, there's no problem with interrupting then. So perhaps a person who's reading Kriyat Shema, and his reading of Kriyat Shema is no different than ordinary reading any other part of the Torah, so perhaps he is tzarich lahafsik, he does have to interrupt that reading of Kriyat Shema for pretty much anything else, which is a mitzvah. Mishnah Berurah says that that's efshar. So on the one hand, right, if you look at the Gemara says Kriyat Shema d'oraisa. Kriyat Shema d'oraisa, that's why you're supposed to interrupt. This Kriyat Shema is not d'oraisa, so you should be able to interrupt more often. On the other hand, if you say that it's expressing a certain idea, that you're not supposed to interrupt, it's not a question of the brute power of the tefillah that you're in the middle of, but it's a question of the resonance and the poetry, right, and the music of expressing an idea in a certain way. So then, even though you're not fulfilling the mitzvah d'oraisa, you would still perhaps not be supposed to interrupt, because that would just break up such a beautiful poetic idea that's contained in Kriyat Shema. So that seems to be a safek of the Mishnah Berurah. Moving onwards, so this will address your question from before. Why don't we see nowadays that people interrupt in order to say good morning or to respond to people who greet them in the middle of davening? So the Mishnah Berurah says something very interesting. He says, "Dafka bepanim chadashos shol umeshiv." It's only a person who's new that you ask and you answer. Sheim lo yashiv, because if you don't answer, yavo lidei sina. He's going to hate you. He's going to hate you. Person comes over and says good morning, and you don't answer good morning back. So this person that you're allowed to interrupt Kriyat Shema in order to respond to him is a person who's going to hate you if you don't say good morning back. The person's not going to hate you if he's going to be understanding and tolerant and empathic. You're in the middle of Kriyat Shema. He knows that. So then there's no heter to respond to him. The heter all seems to be based on, at least according to the Mishnah Berurah, on increasing love amongst Klal Yisrael and diminishing hard feelings. So he goes on, he says, B'Sefer HaChinuch Gam Kein Kosav. Sefer HaChinuch writes, Mi Shalo Ra'inu Sheyakpid Al Chaveru Klal, a person whom we've never seen that he is particular, that he takes umbrage, that he bristles when somebody doesn't respond to him. Lo Yafsik, you shouldn't interrupt for him. Afilu Bein HaPrakim, even if you're in Bin Brachos, even if you just said Yotzer HaMa'oros and you haven't yet started, Ava Rabba. Al Kain, says the Mishnah Berurah, therefore, Lefi Min HaGenu Kehayom, according to our contemporary custom, She'ein Anu Noagin Lishol B'Shalom B'Beis HaKnesses B'Beis HaTfilah, and nobody greets anybody else during davening time in shul, therefore chalila lishal ola hashiv afilu divrei Torah. You're not allowed to ask or answer, not even if he has a shaila or a kasha in learning. Can't answer him. Lo bein aprakim velo bipsuki dezimra. Not at any point in time, because the whole heter, says the Mishnah Berurah, just a second, is based on the increase of love in Klal Yisrael, that we want it to be that if someone greets you in the middle of Kriyat Shema, in the middle of the brachos, in the middle of pipsuki dezimra, or someone asks you a shaila or asks you a kasha, whatever it is, that we want to increase love, and we know that by interrupting, we're going to increase love and diminish hatred and stuff like that. So that's why you're allowed to interrupt. But nowadays, it's not going to, people love one another so much, whether they get answered, whether their good morning is reciprocated, whether their good morning is not reciprocated, they're still going to love one another, and therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, there is no heter to respond. Yes?
Somebody starts talking to me when I put on my tefillin, I put up my finger, and then later on, I say good morning.
Yeah.
An unoffensive finger.
I know some people are much more better at being diplomatic about things than others. It requires a little bit of forethought sometimes. And I know that when I was bar mitzvah, so my father printed out for me little business cards that said, I'm in the middle of davening now, please, you know, I want to hear what you have to say, please come over to me after I've taken off my tefillin. Right, so, but even then, you know, sometimes, you know, you give the business card with a scowl, so that does not increase love. But you give it with a smile and make it clear that you really want to hear what the person has to say. You really wish that you could respond to them, but you can't. So then, there was one time I called up one of my rabbeim, and he picked up the phone and he started. He was in the middle of saying Aleinu, and he just, you know, said the rest of Aleinu into the phone. And then afterwards, he said, "You should know, I consider you a person whom who it's mipnei hakavod, and I would have interrupted in the middle of my Aleinu to say hello to you, but I know that you're going to understand perfectly well. You're not going to have any hard feelings towards me if I finish my Aleinu, which is why I made you wait for 30 seconds while I finished it." So you definitely, you know, that's a very good way of sort of recovering for any. But if a person says, I don't respect you at all, right, that's why I finished my Aleinu, so obviously that's going to have a different impact. That's not going to increase, you know, the Ahava amongst Klal Yisrael.
Somebody, a son, how's your father? So instead of, on Shabbos morning, so instead of answering him, he brings over, he shows him where it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to talk to me now. So the man got very angry, you know, I'm asking about his father, and he shows me the Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah, so it always has to be done both with a sensitivity towards who is doing the asking, right, and in a very diplomatic way, so that, because the Mishnah Berurah seems to be saying, the point is to increase Ahava in Klal Yisrael. Now, I have to tell you, this Mishnah Berurah, and again, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say anything on his own, pretty much. He's always quoting earlier Achronim, but this is a tremendous, tremendous chiddush, right? The Mishnah sounds like the heter to interrupt, right, is because of Yira, right, because you're in awe of the person, or because if you're not actually in awe, that you're supposed to be cultivating a feeling of awe for the person. Sometimes it's mipnei hakavod, because you have a boundless respect for the person, or if you don't have a boundless respect for the person, you're supposed to be cultivating that type of boundless respect, and that's why you interrupt. The only type of interruption which doesn't have either of those two sanctions is the interruption if you're meishiv shalom l'chol adam, if you're in between brachas, right, you're in between Yotzer HaMa'oros and Ava Rabba, and then anybody, even your four-year-old son, right? That happens very often, right? If I'm not feeling well and davening at home, so my four-year-old son or my two-year-old son might interrupt me at a different point. So there's no Yira, there's no Kavod, there's Ava, which is something totally different, and so then it's that's only Bipakim. It's only if you're in between the brachos, and so there you could argue that it's mipnei ha'ahava, because of love. But it seems that any other point in time to wish a spontaneous good morning to somebody, even bein haprakim, is only mutter if the person is deserving of your kavod, of your respect. And if you're be'emtza haparek, so it's only mutter if the person is deserving of your yira, of your ua. So when the Mishnah Berurah says the whole heter is based on ahava, and therefore, when there's no love to be lost, because people's love is so strong that even failure to respond to them or failure to greet them is not going to extinguish or even to diminish their love, so you're not supposed to respond to them, that is a tremendous, tremendous chiddush. The Mishnah makes it sound like that kavod and yira are the motivators here. So this Mishnah Berurah is a tremendous chiddush. By basically limiting, he's saying that the whole basis for interruption is because of ahava, when the potential loss of ahava is absent, that there's no heter, that's a tremendous chiddush.
What about when you're in the middle of davening, people come and ask you for tzedakah?
Oh boy. Right.
So that's a very good point. There's a big difference.
Two fingers means you want two quarters back, not business. One finger. Usually
don't
give a dollar.
One finger.
No, give you a dollar. No, not a finger. No, side finger. So you have two? No, I've seen it. They know that means two quarters.
Yeah.
No, no, but are you supposed to stop you in the middle of saying,
okay, so let me,
and all of a sudden the guy in the middle, sticks his hands in front of you. Are you supposed to stop what you're doing, or are you chayav to continue on your davening and say, don't even...
So first let me tell you what I heard one time on a tape from Rabbi Rudinsky. He said that tzedakah and tefillah, right, as in teshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, they all have a very similar theme. And therefore, we don't consider giving tzedakah to be an interruption in the middle of davening, but rather it's an enhancement for davening. Now, as for the practical question, is it better to pause to give the tzedakah and then to resume? Or is it better to give the tzedakah while you're still in the middle of saying the words? So there, I would say that the main thing is number one, kavana. Number two, at the same time, also, it's keeping pace so that you get up to Shmoneh Esrei in time.
They stand near the Shliach Tzibur during the Chazor Sashatz. While the Chazor
Sashatz
is going on.
Chazor is a different story. Shmoneh Esrei, we don't interrupt for anything, and most people usually respect that. Even if a snake is... it's a difficult calculus, but basically, if you're... my assumption is that nowadays, kavana is very hard to come by. If you're trying to concentrate, it's hard to come by. If you're not trying to concentrate, it's certainly hard to come by. So, what's the difference? Like, I'm daydreaming or I'm giving tzedakah. Like, I'm not sure that it's going to make such a big difference in terms of my kavana. Right? But right, sometimes it does. Now, sometimes it does. But when it does, there is also the calculation of I want to get up to Shmoneh Esrei with everybody else. So. Usually I will prioritize getting up to Shmoneh Esrei with everybody else if I have a chance of that. So I'm going to lose that chance by giving the 10 different collectors who are coming around in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra. So then I'll give them while I'm davening. So that way I keep my possibility of saying Shmoneh Esrei with everybody else. If I know that I'm for sure not going to get to Shmoneh Esrei with everybody else, or if I know that I for sure will get to Shmoneh Esrei with everybody else, so then I really should try to stop davening and give the tzedakah and then start davening again. Pretty sure that's the best for kavana. But that's off the cuff. I should probably check it up again inside before I tell you that for certain, but I think that's my off the cuff answer.
You're not part of from giving them tzedakah because you're awesome. Mitzvah?
No, that's what Rabbi Radinsky says, that tzedakah is part of davening. It's part of davening.
Yeah, but what's more important?
The tzedakah makes your davening better. It's not a question of being
but
more important.
But your concentration, as you say, whatever concentration you have, the 1% even, you know, but having to go into your pocket now looking for, you know, changing, you know, and he's distracting you, they're studying already Shema, and you're still Ba'avarba, and you're falling behind also.
How many years are you doing it?
What?
How many years do you have... people coming in the middle of davening. So you put all your quarters on your talis bag and you just motion and they pick it up. There's nothing new. They do it all the time.
Like an ATM.
Right, exactly.
Like an ATM.
Just give
me
the
crossword. All applies if you're coming. Very good.
Just
having that trail, Welch's also has a sign on the outside of the door asking collectors to please not go around between Barchu and Yusha.
Which is good.
Yamshu will not let you in even. Rabbi Steinberg sure don't let you in.
They schedule times
between Barclay and Moshe.
Wait a minute. In Israel Hillcrest, they have a sign posted.
That's right.
Times.
The all the languages.
Even in Russia, okay. Doesn't there?
Right. So a person has to be sensitive, you know, to where they're holding. If a person's like, in, you know, they somehow one day they reach a tremendous level of dvekos in the middle of their davening. Right, and then somebody comes and shakes some quarters under their nose, and they still have that dvekos. But if they put their hand in their pocket, they're going to lose the dvekos. So then it's a shaila. But I think for the most part that we're able to multitask. It's an unfortunate thing that, you know, we're able to multitask while we're davening the same way that we multitask while we're driving. And even though we can't be on the cell phone while we're driving, that's impossible, but there are many other things that we're able to do while we're driving. I think that nowadays we tend to unfortunately multitask during davening, and again, for the most part, I would say that the amount of that one loses concentration from giving tzedakah is so small as to be negligible, right? If there was a genuine situation where it's a massive loss of kavana that's at stake, so then it would have to be reconsidered.
Also, I noticed my Rebbe Rav Yoel, he said, he talked about when you say nu, instead of davening, nu is a hefsek. He said, like any word, but that you can get also, you can get away with it, but nu is a word, so nu, but it's a hefsek.
Interesting. That I never heard before. Thank you.
I'm going to see him next week.
Okay, yeah, Shrikoa. So this is the big chiddush of the Mishnah Brura, where the Mishnah Brura says that the whole heter, even though it sounds like it's mishum mipnei hayira or mipnei hakavod, it's really all mipnei ha'ahava. And when there's no love that stands to be lost, The Mishnah Brura says there's no heter at all, even if there still is a mitzvah of kavod or a mitzvah of yira. Now look at the next line of the Mishnah Brura right after the ellipsis, and we'll see an even bigger chiddush. The Mishnah Brura says, Hei chashu yoshei b'beis ha-knesses. Person sitting in shul, u'misbaye shleishiv b'li talis. He's embarrassed to sit there without a talis. L'kulei alma yochol levarich alav bein aprakim. So let's say for some reason he started davening on his way to shul, and it took him so long to walk to shul that he is in the middle of Birchos Kriyas Shema when he gets there, and he wants to put on a talis right away because he's ashamed to be there just in his jacket when everyone else is wearing a talis. So the Mishnah Brura says for sure he's allowed to put the talis on. Now very often there's an eitzah that you put the talis on and then you make a bracha on it after Shmon Esrei, or after the Kaddish, after Shmon Esrei, because you're allowed to make the bracha any time that you're wearing the talis. It doesn't have to be literally right before, even though the ideal is to make it right before, but the mitzvah is every moment that you're wearing the talis, and so as long as the bracha precedes some of the moments that you're fulfilling the mitzvah, you're okay. But the Mishnah Brura says, a tremendous chiddush, that if you're putting on the talis in between Yotzer HaMa'oros and Ava Rabbah, you're allowed to put it on, you're allowed to make the bracha also. The bracha on the talis is not considered an interruption. And why not? Because we don't want a person to feel ashamed. We want him to feel dignified. So therefore, the halacha's wish that every person should feel dignified in shul is sufficient to permit a person to interrupt in the middle of the Bein HaPrakim.
Tefillin also.
Tefillin we'll get to in a second. Tefillin is in some ways better. In some ways it's better, and in some ways it's not. But for the most part, it tends to be better. We'll get there in number 12.
Talis involves Shabbos. Mm-hmm. That's what the talis involves. Shabbos.
Shabbos?
No, a person with a talis would be in
Shabbos. Oh, if there's no tefillin.
Yeah.
But I mean, even during the week, you'll find right later on that there are poskim who said, you can put on tefillin in the middle, but not a talis. Now I think that the idea over here, the Mishnah Brura says it goes back to a sefer called Evin HaOzer. So I checked the Evin HaOzer to see whether he quotes an earlier source, and he doesn't. He just says it, like, you can't deny this. It's just self-evident that you're allowed to make the bracha on the talis in order to save yourself from embarrassment. I think that maybe if I had to speculate about where the Mishnah Brura and the Evin HaOzer got it from, I would say that it's from the Mishnah that we began with, which says that biprakim shoel mipnei hakavod. What's kavod? Right? Kavod is dignity. It's affirming somebody's dignity. If you're allowed to greet somebody in the middle, right, of Birchos Kriyas Shema to affirm their dignity, then perhaps certainly you're allowed to put on a talis and say a bracha to uphold or to maintain one's own dignity. Kavod abrios, he's misbayesh, he's ashamed to sit in shul without a talis. So perhaps it's the self-same idea, mipnei kavod, kavod atzmo. Kavod atzmo is something as well. And perhaps that's what informs the heter of the Mishnah Brura. I think, though, that there still is this difficulty because... So put on the talis. Put on the talis. And then you've eliminated the shame of sitting talisless in shul. And then wait until later on to say the bracha. Why is it that here, where you're ashamed, so you can say the bracha? It sounds like if a person's not ashamed, so then they either should put on the talis without a bracha, or they shouldn't put on the talis at all. So I wanted to say that maybe, right, that maybe it's not purely the question of love versus the importance of Birchos Kriyas Shema, or dignity versus the importance of Birchos Kriyas Shema, but perhaps there's something in Birchos Kriyas Shema that make them consistent, right, with the themes of love and of dignity. There's something about Birchos Kriyas Shema which affirms the love that Jews are supposed to feel for one another, and which affirms the inherent dignity of every person. Right? Avas olam ahavtanu Hashem Elokeinu. Right? There's a theme over there of ahava, and there are themes of kavod and yira that resonate throughout Birchos Kriyas Shema as well. And so I think it's possible, again, and this may or may not be correct, it's possible to argue that when an interruption facilitates the goal of increasing ahava, of that avas olam ahavtanu, so then the interruption is consistent with the theme of Birchos Kriyas Shema. It's not an interruption at all. It's simply an additional expression, right, of that same theme. That's why the Mishnah Berurah can say when the Ava is absent, so then the greeting becomes a dry greeting. It becomes a husk of a greeting. It's not you're not giving the greeting to maintain or enhance the love that Jews are feeling for one another. You're giving the greeting because that's what people do. Right? That's what people do. It's not to enhance love. That's what makes the greeting an interruption. As long as the greeting is maintaining and enhancing love, so then it's consistent with the theme of Berachos Kriyat Shema. But when the greeting is simply just a habitual type of thing that, you know, you say, he says, the two people, they do it by habit when they bump into one another, so that's not a type of greeting which is consistent with the theme of Berachos Kriyat Shema, and that's why such a greeting would be an interruption. That's why nowadays we don't greet people, because it's not really, it's not what it used to be, where the greeting literally would contribute so much to Ahavas Yisrael. So perhaps that's the explanation of that. And the same thing with the kavod. If you're putting on a talis to affirm and to uphold and to maintain your own dignity, so then the putting on of the talis is consistent with the themes of Birchos Kriyat Shema, and so it'll be mutter. But when the putting on of the talis is not for kavod abrios, but is rather for some other purpose, to deal with some other emotion, so then it's an interruption because it's inconsistent with the themes of Birchos Kriyat Shema. That's a chiddush. I don't know if it's right or not, but I think that Mishnah Berurah himself is very mechudash, and so this I think only makes things slightly better, and only has the potential to make things a little bit better. So that's these chidushim of the Mishnah Berurah. He explains why we generally don't take advantage of this heter. Let's take a look at the next source. The Mishnah Berurah here is dealing with a variant of the question that I posed at the beginning of this year. Let's say that a person is called up for an aliyah while they're in the middle of Psuki de Zimra or a Birchos Kriyat Shema. So the Mishnah Berurah suggests that perhaps the person should not go up for the aliyah. Say, aye, but isn't that a slap in the face to the Torah? Right, the Gabbai calls him up, come read from the Torah. He says, nah, I'm not going to come. Turn down an invitation from the Torah, invitation to the Torah. Right, it's turning down an invitation, it's a slap in the face. Says the Mishnah Berurah, ein ze bizayon la Torah. It's not a disgrace to the Torah to turn down the aliyah. Kevan she'enu mafsik, mishum she'osik b'mitzvahs kriyat shema b'rechusel. Because the Torah understands. You're not turning down the invitation because you don't value it. You're turning down the invitation because you're in the middle of Birchos Kriyat Shema. Torah understands. Everyone understands. There is no disgrace to the Torah from turning this down. So again, kavod haTorah, right, is a reason to interrupt, right? But if there's no sacrifice to kavod haTorah, so then we're not going to. Here again, the question can be asked, is it because we're just weighing? Kriyat Shema is worth 20 brownie points. Kavod haTorah is worth 22 brownie points. So the 22 is going to push aside, right, the 20, right? Or is it that that Kavod haTorah is consistent, you know, with the theme of Birchos Kriyat Shema? According to some, Birchos Kriyat Shema is itself a Birkas HaTorah. Kriyat Shema itself is an act of Talmud Torah, although taken to an extra level. So that's not 100% clear to me. It seems to me more likely that the former in this case, because if reading from the Torah, if getting an aliyah, if showing kavod haTorah is not an interruption at all, if it's consistent with the theme of Birchos Kriyat Shema, then it should make no difference. You know, the Torah is going to understand, the Torah is not going to understand, I only have to gain by accepting the aliyah. Kavod haTorah is part of Birchos Kriyat Shema. So this line of the Mishnah Berurah sounds like it's saying that there's no just, right, kavod haTorah at least is not necessarily, again, and we have to figure out why this is, it's not necessarily as consistent with the themes of Birchos Kriyat Shema as is kavod habrios ahavas Yisrael, and therefore the only possible reason for it to push aside would be if it, you know, pure power it pushes aside Birchos Kriyat Shema, and that's, it doesn't have enough power to do that because the Torah is not going to suffer so much by our turning down its invitation.
Would it be a distinction if it was a Kohen or a Levi?
Next item.
Yes. Oh. Or not necessarily. Yeah. So let's take a look. Source number 4. So here's a question. Now let's say that you walk into shul and you have a friend whom you haven't seen for a long time. He's in the middle of Birchos Kriyat Shema. Are you allowed to greet him? Now let's try to anachronize for a second. We know nowadays nobody answers in the middle of Birchos Kriyat Shema, right, except for the rabbi. right, in certain shuls. But let's place ourselves a couple of centuries back, before the Mishneh Brura and before the Sefer HaChinuch, back in the time when a greeting really meant something and a failure to respond to a greeting really meant something, and so therefore you really have the opportunity to increase, you know, Avas Yisrael, right, by responding. So now you walk into Shul and you could, you know, greet him, in which case he will respond to you, he will have to respond to you, or you could leave him without greeting him. Wait until afterwards. Maybe you won't have time to wait around until after davening, in which case you could just forego the opportunity. So what should you do? So you would think that if this is all a purely, well, you know, pragmatic, you know, calculus, that, you know, if I greet him, so then he'll be faced with a bind, right? He can either go on with Birkos Kriya Shema, right, or he could respond to my greeting. And if he responds to my greeting, it's going to be putting down Birkos Kriya Shema. And if he keeps on going with Birkos Kriya Shema, it's going to be put down to me. And so you would think that the proper thing to do is not to put him into that situation to begin with. That's what you would think. Don't greet him, so that way he won't have the conflict. You won't have caused the conflict. You won't have caused him to interrupt in the middle of Birkos Kriya Shema. So don't greet him. That's the proper thing to do. If you greet him, you're going to cause him to have a legitimate interruption, but an interruption nonetheless. So don't greet him, and that way he won't have to interrupt. Legitimate or not. But that's not what the Mishneh Brura says. The Mishneh Brura says, Mashma b'chidushei Rashba. It's Mashma from the Rashba. Dimutar lechatchila lishol b'shlom akore. You're allowed lechatchila to go in and wish him a good morning. How good to see you. Afal pisha yodeya sheyitzarich la'ashivo. Even though you know that... I'll just give you an example. I know this is a little bit of a leap, but it's a shaila that comes up very often. Let's say that a person is the manager of a business, and he has a choice to ask his Jewish employees to come in on Purim, or he can give them off for Purim. So over there, the Mishneh Brura says that even though people are allowed to work on Purim if their manager, if their boss insists on it, but it's a midas chasidus for the boss not to insist on it. Because even though their working on Purim will be legitimate if he insists on it, right? But right, he shouldn't cause them that conflict, that tension. It's ideal for him as well as for his employees if he spares them that tension. So here, we don't have the same halacha. That's what I would have expected. I would have said, it's true that if they interrupt, it's a legitimate interruption, right? But better that you should spare him that tension and better spare him that needing to give a legitimate slap in the face to Kriya Shema. It's not what he says at all. So I think that this again seems to highlight the fact that the greetings in the middle of Birkos Kriya Shema, for whatever the purpose is, Kavod, Yira, Ava, that those are not interruptions, right? That those are part and parcel of the themes of Birkos Kriya Shema. The greeting simply enhances the bracha rather than detracting from it. And so you're not putting him in any tension. You're giving him the opportunity to make his Birkos Kriya Shema even better, right, by responding to you properly. I think that's what the implication is of the Chidushei HaRashba, right? In classical, you know, terms, we would call that it's hutra rather than dechuya, right? It doesn't create a tension, but rather it's a part and parcel, right, of what you're supposed to be doing. It only enhances what you're doing. But take a look for a second at the second half of this quote. Again, it's from later on in the Mishneh Brura. I've juxtaposed them just for the sake of making this point. He says, Lechatchila, afilu omei bibirkas kriya shema. If a person, let's say, is in the middle of Birkos Kriya Shema, and you're a gabai, and you want to give him an aliyah. So it says in the Mishneh Brura, Lechatchila, and kol shekein, if he's bikriya shema atzma, lo yikri'u oso, you should not call him up to the Torah. Because by doing so, you're placing him in a bind where he'll either have to give a slap in the face to the Torah, or he'll have to give a slap in the face to the Birkos Kriya Shema. So better don't place him in this type of a situation, so that way he can do everything lechatchila. Lo yikriu oso, don't call him. Afilu ein sham kohen elohu, even if he's the only kohen, don't call him up, says the Mishneh Brura, because you don't want to give him this tension. So this seems to be the exact opposite of the Rashba, right? The Rashba says it's consistent, right? So we have to say, right, presumably, that Kavod HaTorah, Kavod HaBrios, right, are two separate things. And the power of Kavod HaBrios, right? Or its consistency with the theme of Bus Kriyashma is much greater than that of Kavodat Torah, which is, by the way, right, what we saw in source number 3 as well. To turn down an aliyah in the middle of Birkos Kriyashma, that's not a bizayun. The Torah is very understanding. Right? Torah, Kriyashma, they get along, you know, they get along very nicely, but your friend, in the middle of Birkos Kriyashma, that's a different story. Somehow, Kavod Abrios, Kavod Chaveiro, right, Yira, Mora Rabo, etc., those are all more consistent, more important than Kavod HaTorah seems to be. That's what one would have to say in order to harmonize this Rashba with the later ruling of the Mishnah Brura. Oh, we still have some time. Let's see the fifth source.
There may be different opinions on that, though. For sure. You know, because I know in my case, I'm saying the Shema that I'm trying to concentrate, and any kind of break of the concentration for the reason is it's not appreciated on my part. Trying to concentrate. Didn't want anything to break the concentration. What was the reason?
Again, I feel like sometimes when I'm learning this sugya, I feel like I'm talking about very high levels. To be appreciative of all the themes and the sub-themes of Kriyashma and its brachos, and then to have a feeling that, this is harmonious with the theme. Like, I'm just trying to understand what the words mean. And I'm not, like, you know, doing a literary analysis every time that I'm saying Birkos Kriyashma. But that's part of why this shir is so important. We do the literary analysis before we enter shul and start davening, and then when we're actually reading and concentrating on the words, we suddenly, there's this theme here. We pick up a couple of extra details, but then really we can have our Kriyashma be much more organic, you know, being informed by what its themes are. And I think that if that happens, so then the interruptions which are permissible and which are hutra, which are ideal and enhancements of Kriyashma, they just make the Kriyashma all the more significant, even though we generally don't interrupt nowadays at all. But yeah.
Well, in your case, what did you do? You were able to lane?
I did lane. I consider that a kavod atzibur issue. So if we interrupt mipnei kavod of a yachid, mipnei kavod of that's what we say beprakim. Beemtza beemtza meishiv mipnei kavod. Beemtza meishiv mipnei kavod. After yishtabach would be so much better between yishtabach and yotzer or. I was in the middle of Ezra's Havosenu.
Oh, so it was after yishtabach.
After you stop, yeah. I consider that meishiv mipnei akavod. Meishiv mipnei akavod. It was an announcement. Who's available to lane? Nobody was answering the announcement. I figured it's kavod at Sibur that they should have
like
a good.
You go like this.
Wait.
You go like this to wait.
But they would have had to wait 10 minutes for me to finish Monastery.
So 10 minutes.
10 minutes times all the people who are there. Yeah. You make it that's what Tikha de Tikua is all about.
No, there's no way that they would have waited. They would have just gotten somebody who didn't know how to lean to get up and lean, and then they would have had a poor leaning. So I consider that the bizayon to the tzibur. It's a kavod at tzibur to have a good leaning.
It's for
the
Torah that you lean. That's
really, the other special day. I missed something.
Lag BaOmer. Yeah. So that is what I did. I did interrupt for that reason. Even aside from the from the Torah aspect, it was a kavod atzibur thing. I think it was.
I think you handled it very well.
Okay, so maybe we'll stop here for today, and we'll pick up next week with looking at some more evidence about this.